Well, I feel privileged to add my voice this morning to those who have so capably served already in our services. And we thank you for your participation and how you've raised your voice along with us. We have so many reasons to be thankful on this Lord's Day as we consider prayers that have been answered and brought people back to us. Rachel Hernandez is here. We're glad for that. Billy Stover is visiting with us this morning. How we've missed him and how we welcome him back to us today. I spoke with Dub Simpson last night, and he and his family request our prayers for Betty. They just don't think that she would be able to endure or recover from any kind of surgery to repair her hip. And so they're likely going to look at pain management from this point forward. And so remember them as they make some decisions and as they evaluate all the results and tests that she's undergoing, and say their names and Betty's name in your prayers. I want to ask you to turn to John, the 13th chapter, for our reading. John 13, we're going to read just the first four verses of the chapter to begin. But I solicit your participation and reading along with me as we look at the Word of God together. John 13, starting at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. So many times we hear Jesus say, "My hour has not come," or "My time is not at hand." Well, on this occasion, it said Jesus knew this was the end. This would be his last night with his disciples whom he loved. They would partake of this Passover feast and then go out to the Garden of Gethsemane where he would be arrested. Jesus knew that. What would he choose to be his final act? How would he demonstrate his love for his disciples one last time? I submit to you, he did that in a way that they themselves were amazed. We are in the process here of selecting and appointing new deacons. We made the point last week that that word is used some 30 times in the New Testament, 5 times translated deacon, sometimes translated minister. But most of all, it's a word that is translated servant. And that ought to tell us something about what God requires of all his disciples. Whether they be deacons or elders or ministers or teachers, God wants servants. And it is really the only requirement he has in his kingdom. That when you follow him, you're going to choose to be a servant. You're going to volunteer for a life of service. And we see that reflected in our master here. I want us to consider servanthood this morning, expressed in 3 ways. Service revealed. Service required. And service reflected. How did Jesus show himself a servant? How did he reveal to his disciples what he wanted from them after his departure had come? Jesus' whole mission was about service. He made that known in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45 on an occasion where James and John had requested positions of authority in his kingdom. Let us sit on your right and left. Let us have these prominent positions in your kingdom. To which Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served. That's not why I'm here. The Son of Man has come to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And sure enough, Jesus demonstrated that again on this occasion. Think about it. He had left his throne in heaven. He had come down to earth and taken the form of a man. What did Jesus do during this meal? He left his position at the table and took on the form of a servant, girding himself with a towel. And verse 5, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This is the Master. This is the Creator of heaven and earth. And he washed the disciples' feet. In the first century, it would have been common if you had a home and had company in your home to provide to wash their feet. It was a time where transportation was on dusty roads. They didn't have Department of Sanitation like we have. And so feet were dirty. And usually you would have not just a slave, but probably the lowest class of a slave reserved for washing dirty feet. And Jesus, the Son of God, revealed service to us by going around the table and washing their feet. Keep your place here, but look back to Luke chapter 22. At part of Luke's account that's going to make a connection as to why Jesus knew they needed this lesson. Luke chapter 22 in verse 24. Notice this is in connection with the Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper. Verse 24, there also arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Can you picture that? He has revealed, one of you at this table will betray me tonight. Now to this point, he had said he was going to be betrayed, but now for the first time, he says it's going to be one of the 12. And their discussion of, I would never do that, Peter, I'll go to prison and to death, then turn to, well, not only will I be there for you, Lord, but I'll be greater than him. And I'll be more loyal than him. Well, you sure won't. I'm the greatest. Don't you know that was comforting to Jesus in his last hour, knowing what was awaiting him and his chosen 12 are arguing Which of us is the greatest? And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. Who is greater than Jesus? What higher master? Who has more authority? But he says, I am among you as one who serves. They had seen that in his whole life. Who did Jesus keep company with? Fellow kings? Men of authority? Sinners? Tax collectors? Harlots? Children? Why? Because these were the people he came to serve and to give his life for. We see in Jesus' service revealed. He took on, Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 7, he took on the form of a bondservant. I am with you as one who serves. As we think about positions of authority and power and greatness, Jesus said the greatest one is the one who serves. Service revealed. And notice that Jesus washed all of their feet. He didn't pick and choose. He didn't say who's worthy, who's going to be there. So we must be the servants of all, like our master. All right, verse 6, so he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Much like when Jesus came to be baptized by John the Baptist, and remember John said, Lord, you're the one who should baptize me. Peter said to him, or Jesus answered and said to him, what I do you do not realize now, but you shall understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Peter, not only am I going to wash your feet, but there will come a time when you will be the one who will be washing others' feet. And if you don't allow this, you have no part with me. I want you to see that service is required. How many times you've been driving down the road, and all of a sudden the light comes on the dash. Service required. That usually means you're not going to know how to fix this on your own. You don't have the tools. Now somebody's going to come up to me afterward and say, you know, there are a couple of buttons you can push and reset and turn off that light. So let me just tell you, I don't care. Service required. You're going to have to take this in and get it fixed. Well, when Jesus said that to Peter, I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me. He's telling us service is required. It's not optional. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, service is required. Later on in the chapter, in verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Notice that he said that this love is commanded. It's not something you fall into or fall out of. It's not an emotion that sweeps over you that you feel. Some days you will and some days you want. A new commandment. Why do we serve? Because we love people. Why did Jesus wash their feet? Because he loved them to the end. We would say it this way, he loved them to death. And he did. Service required. We serve because we love. When you think about the day of judgment, and you think about standing before the Lord and giving an account of your life, things that you have done, how many of us think about how we have served? How we've shown our love for our brothers and sisters? That's what Jesus said is going to be on the test. Look back to Matthew, the 25th chapter. When he paints the picture of all the nations gathered before the Son of Man in verse 31, when he comes in his glory and sits on his throne. And he'll separate the sheep from the goats, those who have been flock together and may have a lot of similarities, but Jesus can tell them apart. He's the good shepherd. And to the sheep he'll put on the right and the goats on the left. And what is it that causes this division? The king in verse 34 will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." They must have been doing all of the big things, right? I mean, surely they weren't involved in immorality, and they weren't people who were given over to things of the world. They did things that everybody knew about. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat." Is that going to ruin your whole day to do that? The whole weekend's gone. "I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Now remember, these people are told, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. It's on the test. It matters. It's heaven or hell. Service is required. Doesn't say anything there about, well, I know you were busy, or I know you've got your own family, or I know your plate's pretty full this time of year. You either did it or you didn't. You either served or you made an excuse. Service is required. You have no part with me, Peter. He will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I mean, they must have been lying and stealing and cheating. They must have been the immoral reprobates of society. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And they will answer and say, Lord, I don't remember once seeing you that way. If I did, I would have dropped everything. Why then didn't you do it for the brother who's just barely hanging on? I mean, they always need something. And you wonder how many people are they taking advantage of? And how long is it going to last this time? To the extent you didn't serve him, you didn't serve me. Depart. I never knew you. Service required. Back to John 13. Jesus said in verse 12, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Service reflected. Isn't that why Jesus left an example? Peter said that we should follow in his steps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, to be like our master, to want to say what he said and go where he went and to do what he did. And he said, I left this as an example. As I've done this for you, your Lord and teacher, what's your excuse for not rendering service to your own brothers and sisters? I have to wonder if Peter had this event in his mind. Remember, Jesus said, "You'll understand this later, Peter. What I've done for you, you may not get it now, but you will." And I have to wonder, in 1 Peter chapter 5, when the apostle is writing his first epistle, and he uses the same word that John used to describe what Jesus did. 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 5. "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves." That's the same word that's used to describe how Jesus girded himself with a towel. "Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." You know why we don't serve? Because we don't humble ourselves. Jesus certainly clothed himself with humility when the master put on the towel and washed the disciples' feet. If we're going to reflect that, we're going to have to humble ourselves. Do you know what the opposite is? If you don't humble yourself, you will eventually be humbled. It's kind of like after services when I'm standing in the back in the foyer greeting people as they go out. I think, boy, I hit a home run today, and I'm really waiting for people to tell me that. And the only compliment I get is "nice tie." You will be humbled if you don't humble yourself. Can you imagine Jesus from heaven, knowing the need of salvation for man, saying, "Isn't there an angel we can send for this? Isn't there somebody else who can go?" He emptied himself. He humbled himself. Let us reflect our master in our service to one another. Back when we were still quarantined, the elders were making provisions for us to come back to the building. And their goal was, we want to make it to where as many people feel comfortable assembling as possible. As many people can come. And so they decided on the 9 and 11. Well, then they had to call the whole church to tell them what the plan is, to make certain that we could accommodate the same number of people for both. If we're going to still social distance, we can't have everybody at 9 and not at 11. So they wanted to know, which one will you come to? And there were some who said, we just won't come unless everyone's wearing a mask. And so they came at 9. There were some who said, we will not come at all if we're going to be required to wear a mask. So they came at 11. And there were some who told the elders, just put us where you need us. If you need less at one, well, we'll go to the other. If you need more at this one, we'll come to that one. service reflected. We're going to need that. It's what Jesus requires. As I have served you, you wash one another's feet. All of them. Not just who you want. Not just who you think deserves it. All of them. We'll be the servant of all. There was a Roman coin in the first century that had a picture of an ox on it. And before the ox was an altar and a plow. In other words, this ox was either going to be slaughtered and made an offering on the altar, or it was going to be hitched to a plow and serve in the field. And the inscription on the coin said this: ready for either. Does that describe your approach to discipleship this morning? If the Lord requires me to give all, I'm ready. If He requires me to go serve, I'm ready. I just want to be His disciple and follow in the steps of my Master. Zion's call is ringing this morning. It's coming down from God's throne. The same invitation that Jesus gave in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He came to serve, and He gave His life a ransom. Would you give your life in service to Him and to His people, confessing your faith and having your sins washed away? We want to be of service to you. If that means prayer and encouragement to continue serving, let it be known right now while we stand up and while we sing.